I mentioned already the sermon will be Moses Encounters the I Am. This is a story of Moses and the burning bush. It's a story that as small children we heard about the Moses and the burning bush. And this is the account of that. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The Lord of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Blessing, Steve, as you bring the message.
Feeling much better. Hoping that she comes home today. If not today, then tomorrow. She has nothing attached to her as of yesterday. She's cleared to walk on her own without a nurse or anybody walking with her. Anna served her breakfast today, took her lunch order, and started to take her supper order, and April said, I'm going home today. So if it's her decision, she's coming home. She's just really at the place now where she's itching to come home. She actually feels good. So we're excited about that. Thanks for all your support, prayers, everything throughout these last 3 weeks. So we're talking about encounters with God, and today we're looking specifically at this encounter that Moses had with God at the burning bush. And like always, we'll want to think about how this might apply to us, how we encounter God in similar circumstances. Not that we ever see God at a burning bush, but the circumstances of that encounter we can relate to our lives. And so I want to think about that. At the time of this encounter, the Israelites have been in Egypt for over 400 years. And it started out great. They were honored guests because they were the family of Joseph, who saved Egypt and saved the world in the midst of that famine. And so the first few generations were good. They were given this great land in Goshen. But after several generations, the Egyptians forgot who these people were, and in fact, we're kind of worried about them, that they would gain strength and be a problem. And so they began to oppress them and make them slaves. So by this point, God says to Moses, "I've indeed seen the misery of my people. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers." And so it's a rough time for the Hebrews there in Egypt. But then I want to think about Moses for a minute as well by this point. If you know the story of Moses, at the time when Pharaoh wanted all the young Hebrew boys to be killed because they were just becoming too numerous, Moses was put in that basket among the bulrushes. The princess found him. So Moses was raised in the courts of the Egyptians. But at a certain point, he rose up to defend one of his fellow Israelites and killed an Egyptian, which wasn't good. You know, he fled into the wilderness. And so he spent 40 years now in Midian. 40, being in the desert for 40 years seems to be the way people are prepared to serve God. And so he's kind of settled into this pastoral life. He's tending sheep, and he takes them to a distance from Midian to Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. Again, we saw in the story of Elijah, Mount Sinai is the place where people seem to meet God. And Moses will later meet God on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. But it's there that He meets God, and he asks the question of God when he's called, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out?" It seems like he's carrying some sense of failure, or, you know, "I tried once to stand up for my people and failed miserably and had to flee." Sorry. So what, you know, why me? Why are you calling me to this? And so, both for the people in their misery and oppression, Moses in his sense of distance from his people and maybe that he failed them in the past, God comes and encounters Moses, kind of maybe even Moses representing his people. So I'm thinking that this is an encounter that we can apply to our lives when God doesn't feel so mighty, when God doesn't feel so present in our lives, or when God doesn't feel very active or involved. You know, where are you, God, who made all these promises to our forefathers? Where are you in the midst of our struggles? My own testimony this week, how I would relate this to my own life. Last week I talked about how Elijah really seem to apply to my life, that story that in the midst of some discouragements with April's recovery, there was also some real times where God came and encouraged and inspired. And even while there was medical drama, there was great spiritual inspiration. Probably that I could put it in my top 10 of spiritual moments in my life, some of the things I experienced. This week is more like a time of fatigue, losing some of that emotional, spiritual, and even physical steam, you know, after 2 to 3 weeks with April in the hospital. And there was a moment Thursday evening, night, when like I let this complaint out into the air, whatever.
like, I wish I could leave in an evening with April feeling good, and I'd come back in the morning, and April would still feel good, and there would have been no medical issues or downturns. You know, just one cycle when it's good to good. That's the point I kind of reached. Actually, since then, it's been all good. So, I'm not saying complaining is good, but it just, that's the way it turned out. So it was a time when I still had faith in God, but that sense of God being really present and powerful, like I didn't feel it as much this week as I did last week. It's just the reality of my week. And so for all of us, there's times when God doesn't feel as imminent. And that idea of imminence is that God is continually present, active, like pervading his creation and sustaining everything. And there's just times when we don't feel as much of that as other times. And I think for Moses and for the Israelites, this would have been one of those times after 400 years in Egypt. And so Moses is there alongside Mount Sinai, and God makes himself known here at this burning bush. And it's a time where he wants to Moses to know and for Moses to tell his people that, yes, in fact, God is mighty. God is present with you. God is active in your affairs. God hears you. So there's this burning bush. God says, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. The place where you're standing is holy ground. Just incidentally, in reading about this, the commentator said, this is one of the first times when that idea of God being holy and to be real reverent really comes through in this story. I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hit his face because he realized, I'm speaking to God. And God didn't say anything new here. You know, Moses would have understood God to be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the ones who went before him. And then God continues, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I've heard their cries because of the slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I've seen the ways the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, Moses. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out. This is significant here, how God reveals himself as a personal God who sees his people. He hears them. He cares and he responds. And God reveals himself, especially through his name. I am. And I want to talk about that for a minute. This name, just like when God would name people and or rename people throughout this story, this name is significant because it represents who God is and what God does. First of all, it's a holy name to be revered. And later on, the people, that would be one of the Ten Commandments Moses gives, to revere this name, keep it holy. But there's something powerful about that name. Just like we as Christians understand that we believe in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. There's something powerful. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The name of God, the name of Jesus is powerful because it represents who Jesus is and what Jesus is all about. And we're putting ourselves in that power, in that grace and mercy. So Moses says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? So Moses here is asking, if they ask your name, what should I say? I'm wondering if Moses himself is asking, what's your name? Or who are you really? You know, if you're calling me, if I'm to represent you, if I'm to go to my people and deliver them, I really need to know who you are. And I think for any of us, that's the question we come to. If we're going to trust you, Jesus, if we're going to follow you, if we're going to orient our lives around you, who are you really? Like, we need to understand that if we're going to put our whole life into it. And so, in a sense, we could say the way God reveals himself is really the good news, the gospel, that God comes to us, that God is present among us, that God has come to save us and redeem us. You know, that'll get fleshed out even more when Jesus comes. But this is the good news, that God hears, that God responds, that God comes to save us. He's right here with us. So God says to Moses, this is what you're to say. I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you to me. Some of the newer translations will have a little footnote that it could be translated, I will be who I will be. But it's that idea that I am God. I was, I am to come. You know, there, I am. And that's a real kind of a, I don't know, would you call that a philosophical way of thinking? What does that mean, I am? For one thing, we could say it God's saying, I am self-existent. I'm self-sufficient. There's nothing I need. I don't come from anything else. There's nothing beyond or behind me. I am. I am existent all to myself. I'm sufficient all to myself. Like for any of us, we'd say, I have parents. I come from this lineage where I need these people in my life. I need these resources in my life. April's needed skilled surgeons. She's needed medical equipment. You know, we're not sufficient unto ourselves. There's something beyond us, you know, sustaining us. For God, that is not true. But the other thing about I am, maybe even more important here in this story, is I am, like, I am immediately present here. I have been present in my creation. I am present now. I always will be right in the center of all of this. Like, I am here. I am not separate from all of this. And so I've heard your cries. I've seen your oppression. I'm coming to act. I'm coming to deliver you. And God also says, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the Lord, like in your Bible, you'll see it's all capitals. And whenever it's all capitals, it's Yahweh or Jehovah, this special name that's given to God. It's the same, kind of the same root as I am. But it's this special name that for the first time, again, in the story, it's been given to God. This is the first time God is referred to, he refers to himself as Yahweh or Jehovah. And it goes along with this moment when he's revealing himself that I am here. I am present. I have heard and I'm coming to act and to deliver you. I am right here with you. That's Yahweh. That's how God will now be understood to the Israelites and to us as well as Christ followers. I am immediately present. I am the one who is hearing you and saving you. He goes on to say, this is my name forever. The name that you shall call me from generation to generation. So before he was God Almighty, he was this God who made covenants with our forefathers. But now he is Jehovah. He is Yahweh, the one who has come to be our deliverer and constant source of life. In the Believer's Church Bible Commentary, it says, again, this is the first time God's role as Savior, as Deliverer, as Liberator is announced. That God is not just on high, but God has come to us to rescue us. So I have a couple quotes here from Dr. Michael Lefevre from the Biblical Mind. I guess that's a magazine. Indeed, the Hebrews, languishing under the whips of their oppressors, did not need to know simply that God exists. They needed to know that he was present with them. And that is precisely what God announces to Moses and memorializes in the name Yahweh. In the name Yahweh, God made himself known as a present being, present with and for his people. And wherever God's presence is invoked, that announcement is pregnant with the certainty of his attention, his care, his power, and his grace. Perhaps a helpful paraphrase of God's words at the burning bush would be, "Say to the people of Israel, I am present, has sent me to you." God sent Moses to the people in Egypt with that marvelous announcement, and the subsequent Exodus events would be an object lesson for all generations that God is Yahweh. He's present with his people in the midst of all their sufferings. So Moses continues to encounter God as he goes into Egypt and then as he leads the people out. There's a time when in the midst of their journeys through, there's 40 years in the desert before they get to the promised land. Moses asked God, "Show yourself to me." And the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Again, proclaimed this name Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming the Lord, or Jehovah, Jehovah. The compassionate and gracious God. This is his identity. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. So if you'd follow this story in Exodus, read through Exodus, read Moses' story, but you'll see that this intimacy with God and this trust in God deepens and develops all through this story, to the point where Moses meets with God and his face shines. And it says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. So maybe all the Israelites didn't come to that place where they could speak to God so intimately, face to face as a friend. But I think it's foreshadowing of what is now available to us in Jesus, the one who's come to be with us and to save us. And Moses is so tight with God that at one point when God says, you know, "I'm just done with you people. You know, I can't go any farther with you." Maybe he's testing Moses in those words, but Moses really speaks up. You know, he knows God as Yahweh, you know, all these ways that God's revealed himself. And so he says to God, "You have said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. So if you're pleased with me, God, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. And remember that this nation is your people. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from the other peoples on the face of the earth?" So what will distinguish them is that God is with them. You know, God is their present help and God is their deliverer. So just in conclusion and thinking about this for our own lives, when might God feel distant to you? One way you might have this idea that there's Almighty God out there, but doesn't feel very close or imminent or present or powerful in my own life. You know, pray that God would reveal God's self to you like he did for Moses. And in the book, The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brendan Manning, if any of you read that, he tells a simple story that captures the good news for those who would seek God's face. Even if we don't actually experience God, you know, kind of like Moses and the people, seeking God's face, even when it's not real evident that he's there. A two-story house had caught fire The family, father, mother, and several children were on their way out when the smallest boy became terrified, tore away from his mother, and ran back upstairs. Suddenly he appeared in a smoke-filled window, crying like crazy. His father outside shouted, "Jump, son, jump. I'll catch you." The boy cried, "But daddy, I can't see you." "I know," his father called. "I know, but I can see you." Let's understand God that way. He sees it all. And he's just ready for us to open up our hearts and our lives to him. A God who sees us, a God who hears us, especially in our distress. He's compassionate and he responds. He might be all self-sufficient, but he's also eternally present with us. That's how God was revealed to Moses, and that's how God wants to reveal himself to us. So may we experience that and encounter God in those ways. Amen.